What's up, guys? Welcome to the Flow T-Cast for episode 112, ladies and gentlemen. We got us a good one today. A lot of stuff happening. Big things are on the horizon, and by not us, it's more like Peoria Regionals coming soon. We got to talk about it. That's what we do here. But before we get started, Matt, how you doing, my dude?
I am fantastic.
You're doing great, man.
I could not be any better. I start my first day in my new position tomorrow, and I am pumped.
You're fired up, dude.
I am motivated, dedicated, caffeinated, vaccinated, and freshly
and castrated.
I can't believe I just listened to that whole fucking thing.
Jesus Christ. All right, cut the show. We're done. Matt's ready to start his new job tomorrow. He's been on the pod 4 weeks in a row, and he's already done. He's moved on to bigger and better things.
Fucking fire this guy, bro.
Jesus Christ.
I only got this job because I put as a block on my resume that I have experience on a podcast after episode one.
Well, hey.
Hey, it goes on the resume, yeah. Bro. Oh, man, I'm glad you're doing well, though. I'm excited for you to start your job, for real, for real. Don't let anybody tell you differently.
I'm not.
Don't let the haters bring you down. And by the haters,
I'm a hater.
By Scott. Scott, how you doing, my man?
Man, I'm good. Working. I spent all day working on homework because I took yesterday off to play in another cup, so I'm regretting it today, but you know, I'm doing great. Got a drink in my cup, a buzz on my head, and somebody to make fun of all night, so thanks for that, Matt. How you doing, Maxwell?
Well, it's a buzz in your head.
It's in my head, bro. I don't have a body buzz. I have a head buzz. There's a strict difference. You get a head buzz right before you get drunk. And I haven't moved from this fucking chair in like 2 hours. I don't know if I could walk right now.
Real quick, for research purposes, can you stand up?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. He's tumbled.
No, I'm good. I'm good. Funny story, though. I took off pajamas, took a shower, and put back on, but not the same pajamas, but I put on different pajamas. So
you ain't got a lot of kick at, homie. You put on the
I'm
same
looking
pajamas.
Fresh. And I got my what do you call them, the dad slippers, you know, like they got
the moccasins.
Yeah, the moccasins, bro. I got on the moccasins. I'm chilling.
Moccasins are better than Crocs, so
that's
okay.
True,
bro. I still wear my Adidas slides, bro. I don't care. And then like
the old shower shoe special.
Yeah, the shower shoe special. Every time I wear them out in town to go get something, I don't put socks on because I'm weird. And like I'll FaceTime Elena and like to show her something, and then she immediately forgets what I'm showing her and just screenshots my feet and then sends it to me and is like, "What the fuck?"
Do you wear jeans with your flip flops?
No.
Or slides?
No, I only wear shorts. I don't wear jeans with them unless I'm like going to Walmart real quick, and there's still not a situation where I'd go for the shorts first, so we're chilling. Yeah, we don't wear jeans with slides. But
speaking of Walmart, quick story. We went to Walmart just a little bit ago, and they had one 151 ETB left on the shelf, and Haley was ready to rip some packs and was just like, "Well, there's only one." And because she'd wanted to get one yesterday and other places were sold out, we had stopped at, right? So it's the last box on the shelf, all beat up. And I was like, well, you know, I guess it needs a good home. So we buy it. And I'm driving home, and there she is ripping packs, flying left and right, sorting through cards. She's like six packs in. I was like, man, this box sucks. We wasted our money. Very next pack she opens, she pulls the Illustrator Rare Charizard.
Let's go.
Before she does that, right, she's like, man, this box sucks. Like, I wasted my money. And she goes, watch me pull the most expensive card. And then pulls it, and she goes, oh, that's pretty. Hey, is this any good?
Nope.
She just started laughing, right? The very next pack she opens, is the Illustrator Rare Alakazam. She's like, oh, this one's so cool too. And I'm like, so I'm sitting there driving, I'm like, what is it? Let me see. She's like, hang on, I'm looking at it. And she like has the back of the card towards me so I can't see, because she knows that it'll drive me up the wall. She'll give like some big reaction, right? So I pull up to a stop sign and I'm like, here, let me see. And she shows me, and I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, what is this? Then she opens the very last pack, and then it's the Nido King art. And I'm just like, I thought this box sucked. And then you go and get three pretty decent hits out of it. And she's just like, this was great. I'm glad we bought that last box. Everyone else picked the bad box. I'm just like, they sure did.
That's what's up, man. I still haven't opened any.
You don't need to. Just buy the cards.
Buddy, the Muse are like $17.
The regular art?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm like, fuck. I'll buy it.
That's because they're good, bro.
I just can't.
The only box I opened, I got a gold Mew and a Charizard. Not an illustrated Charizard, but a regular Charizard. So.
Must be nice. I got no
Charizards.
Yeah,
it is nice.
Matter of fact, I have Charizards. I have four of the good ones. But speaking of Charizard, I heard you went on some cup runs, buddy. How did that go? Oh, wait. Wait, hold on. Hold on. I forgot. I'm doing great. Scott did ask earlier. I appreciate it.
I did ask, actually. You can't fucking tell me that I didn't. It took me 112 episodes to ask you finally without being told first. And then you almost didn't answer it.
I'm doing good. I'm still on hiatus from playing the game. Matter of fact, it's like I'm quarantined from COVID. I can't even leave the house, dude. I just go to work and come back and cry a little. I'm just kidding. It's a blessing here at the house. We got all these children running around, and been gaming on my PlayStation and my Nintendo Switch, and doing great.
If I ask your girl if it's been a blessing, is she gonna say the same thing?
There she goes. I guess the answer's no. No, it has been. It's been wonderful here. I got nothing. I watched hockey for the first time in almost a year. No, almost a year. Fuck, it's been 3 months. Jesus Christ, Steven. Get your shit together.
Yeah, but it feels like a year.
It feels like a long time. I did watch football, too. A whole game of it. But we'll get to that later. But more importantly, since we are a Pokemon podcast, Scott, you did go on some cup runs. How'd that go?
Yes, I did. So I played Sunday. I played in a cup. So the Sunday after the podcast last week, I played in a cup. And I played in a cup yesterday. So Sunday, I took the not-so-tried but very true Curlyzard, I guess is what we're calling it.
Buddyzard.
Buddyzard. And I took it basically how it was online. There was a couple modifications I made. Like I added a worker because a free answer to path seemed to make sense. Thank you, Maxlow, for that.
No problem.
And I think there was another change. Like I played an extra jet energy or something. But I ended up going 4-1 in Swiss, only losing my last round because I didn't know the dude played two collapsed stadiums. So he was playing Guardi, and I figured he only played one if he played any. He had already discarded early in the game. So I set up the board so that he could not take a knockout, and he proceeded to play second collapsed stadium, put all his energy in the discard, and put it on his Zacian and knock out my Charizard. So that was real cool. So that was 4-1 going to Swiss. Ended up the top seed, then lost in top four because apparently I had run hot for too long and I wasn't going to run hot any longer. But lost top four to a local that, you know, has been a homie for a while, Joshua Marsden, shout out. So I'm glad that at least he got it. And then yesterday I played in a cup. Started round one against Josh Marsden, who is playing that lost box deck that's specifically designed to beat Charizard. So I lost that. And then my round two was against Alex, who was playing the same 60. So I lost that and then won the rest of the games that I actually had a chance in. So I ended up 3-2, not making top four or anything like that. But, you know, shout out to people playing decks to beat one deck and then losing the rest of them because neither one of them ended up in top four any either. So,
yeah.
But the homie Justin Bean did. So, you know, he got top 4 points. Good job there.
I thought
there,
he got in the finals.
I don't think he got
the
finals.
Yeah, he was in the finals for against Reggie
was
Dago.
He?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. So he won his top four, and then he was in the finals. I thought he lost in top four to the Reggie Drago guy, but no, the kid was playing some Duraludon, Reggie Drago meme stuff, and somehow ended up all the way at the top because nobody was expecting it. So, you know, shout out to him for making the right meta call by making a goofy call, right?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes that's how League Cups work, right? Matt, I'm surprised you didn't play in any of them.
Yeah, so Sundays are the big chore day around the house that I also hang out with Haley and stuff, you know, with us both working throughout the week and whatnot. And she lets me usually go on Fridays and Saturdays. So I don't push it, you know. I'd rather hang out with her anyways. Then as for this weekend, she has a work conference coming up, so I will not be able to see her. So I just decided to kind of take a weekend off and hang out at the house.
For sure. Did you go last? Oh, we already talked about last week. Last Friday, so that doesn't count. So you're in the same boat as me, kind of on bed rest from Pokemon. I haven't even looked at my cards, bro. It's sad. It's so sad.
You know what's great about that though is you could look at them, you could play, or you know, you could be on the grind, and you're still going to be a trash player at the end of the day. So.
Facts, bro. Facts. I still can't crack the algorithm for PTCGL. It's giving me L hands every time. I can't.
Every
do it.
Time. I think that's what the L actually stands for.
If you don't play ladder, I guarantee you will do better.
Okay. Bro, I'll remember that.
I promise you, it stands for Pokemon Trading Card Game loser hands, like the L's.
PTCG L client, L player, L hands, L deck. Man. But that's...
You ever opened a hand, three Charmanders and four Rare Candies? Because I have.
No. No, that's a new one.
Did you even shuffle?
Apparently not. And I didn't know I had the option not to shuffle on BTCGL.
They literally like picked his deck up, looked at it, and was like, we'll just set it right back down. Next card, Charizard. And he's like, this ain't bad.
This ain't bad.
No, I lied. The three Charizards are in the prizes.
Oh, so in the cup, actually, that's funny. In the cup, I did play a game where I had all three Charizards prized. And I ended up taking in the cup yesterday, right? I ended up taking a knockout with Charmeleon to draw into the Charizard. And then I still won that game. So shout out to Charmeleon.
Let's go. When I was playing Guardi, that happened to me one time. Like, I prized both the Guardies, and I was just like, fuck, dude. I think I still squeaked it out just because I could like take slow roll knockouts and like you have reversal energy. You're always going to be on the back pedaling because you're not going any further than that. I think I still squeaked it out. One time I just got absolutely bodied, but then I think another time that happened, I squeaked it out with reversal energy. So shout out to that card. That card's insane. But speaking of Charizard, we've been talking about it a lot. Scott, you'll be happy to know that your new pet deck, a different variant, of course, one Curitiba? Latin American regionals.
One Latin American regionals, yes.
Yeah, it won Latin American regionals. And not only that, it had five placements in top eight after getting shit kicked in the first, like, well, I think it did okay in Barcelona special event, but like the first regionals it was legal, it got absolutely torched. Like,
yeah, that is insane to me. Like, I don't, I don't understand it. I mean, so Charizard is strong, right? But not five in the top eight strong. This variant that, or the majority of it is the same variant, right? Like, let me double check before I go crazy here. Yeah, but it's just a Pidgeot, no Arceus. Two of them are Arceus. I don't know. The Pidgeot version is strangely more consistent than the one with Arceus.
Yeah.
So
So the reason that is because they play William Acevedo, Leonardo Walbrink. I hope I'm saying these names right. If not, oh well. Octavio. Yeah, Octavio, buddy. Got 21st. Leonardo got 3rd. So this certain list like did really well. And why I think personally it did well, or why I think it's better, is the 4 Arvins plus the 4 Seal Stones. And the fact that you play a Lumineon and a Entei V, like, you can turn 1 setup board, turn 2 setup board without worrying about, like, trying to evolve into an Arceus. You're playing 3 different evolution things. You just grab your 4 Seal Stone, attach it to Lumineon or Entei, and then you just a rare candy away from a Pidgeot to just, like, vomit on the board, which
right.
is insane. And then plus Arvin also searches out an item, too. So it's like, rare candy, 4 Seal Stone, grab another rare candy, bam, bam, or whatever you need to do to make it happen. So you're consistently setting up Charizards, it feels like. And, like, Charizard EX, too, like, has a little bit more firepower early game with something like Entei V, too. Because it can swing 220 turn 2, or turn 1, turn 2. And, I mean, that's always good. So... Matt, have you seen this list?
I have not. But I do know, don't most of the Charizard decks, though, like, you'll see people set Entei, and it's for the 4 Seal Stone, and then most of the time it ends up just getting pennied away.
It can. I know there's been times where, like, I've played it a few times, believe it or not. there's been times where, like, you get a swing in with it, like, you take a knockout, and then they just can't hit 230. And then, so, yeah, you would just penny it away after you taken a knockout, which, like, pretty much, like, mitigates their turn or, like, cancels out their turn prior since you're healing that damage off. And then, plus, it has fleet-footed. I mean, it's good to draw 1 card.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, just looking at the list, I would say penny is probably more reserved for, like, a couple turns after you had to use Lumineon, and so they don't like take an easy 2 prizes, you know. So
you could do that as well, or like,
yeah.
Like if something gets stuck in the active, like a card that they were playing was this Mawile, like where it sticks something in the active and you can't retreat it, or like Snorlax Blockade. I don't know if that's a big thing yet, but it might be something coming soon. Playing Penny's good.
Yeah.
So
sounds tempting. Tempting trap.
Oh, speaking of the Mawile, like, and his bad joke, like, I tested this. I don't like it, but I see the utility because, like, there's a lot of times where I just fucking hate my life because I can't knock out a Genesect, or I can't knock out, you know, like, Raikou. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, he's only 200. Why am I not knocking out this guy turn 1? This makes me absolutely furious.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, Mawile fixes that too. You're doing 270 turn 2.
Or right, turn exactly. Two.
Wouldn't it have been better, though, if they would have named the attack Stay a While?
Oh my god, dude. I can't fucking do this with you right now.
Get this man a job at TPCI, though. That was actually good.
Like, I feel like they, when they named Ogie Dogie, Pheasant Dippity, and Monkey Dory, like, they were tapping into Matt's brain for that one.
They actually emailed Matt, and they're like, these are the new Pokemon. What's their names? And he's like, Ogie Dory. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't actually enter into the artwork contests. I just do the writing. That's it. I just submit a blank card with a rough idea.
Here's a little pen drawing of a stick figure on everyone. It's the same stick figure.
They should give you some they should give you some love on making the names for the attacks for Applin.
I'm not going to respond to that. Actually, no, I will. Because Haley thought it would be funny. She found, I guess it was in Target or something, some little Pokemon, like the little action figure things of them or whatever. And she thought that would be absolutely hilarious to buy this one because they had an Appleton one. And like, I can't stand Applin or Flapple or Appleton. I don't know why. I just absolutely hate them. And she thinks that they're just so adorable and hilarious and cute. And so I go out to my truck last night to get in it. And whenever I do, sitting on the dash is this Appleton that's the size of a golf ball. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? And so I go back inside and I yell her name. And she's like, yeah. And it's like, can you come here, please? We have a problem. And so she comes running thinking that there's like an actual emergency or something. And I'm just like, what is this? And all I get is, oh, it's so cute. Where'd you get that?
That's hilarious.
I mean, maybe she just thought you were more than capable to figure it out. Get it? Capable, but Apple? No? All right.
Nah. You forgot about Driplin, no. though. You got to give love to the candy apples. Oh, my God. But back to Charizard. No, when I've played the deck, I actually taken the at Mawile out, and I just put the new Charizard EX in it. Just a little bit more firepower, but I haven't really tried with the Mawile. Yeah, firepower, fire type Charizard. Yeah. Boo.
I literally hate this podcast. I don't know why I do it every week.
I literally can't stand it. But I thought it was super cool that Charizard actually won.
Is that the first time?
Yeah, I think so.
It feels like the first time.
Like the first time the mascot ever won?
For the first time in forever?
Yeah.
Charizard's won at regionals before. Reshizard.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And then don't forget the Charizard inclusions to Mewtwo and Mew GX. Like, that was a thing.
Yeah, that doesn't count. Because it still wasn't the main attacker. It was just in the discard.
That's fair. But yeah, Reshizard's won some. So, but I mean, it was cool that it won. And like I said, I think this list coming out is pretty good. Like, a little bit more consistent than what we've seen in the past, for sure. As far as the routes of playing Pidgeot EX. I know Scott will argue, buddy, the Buddyzard with the... With the curl, all, by the way, I'm gonna give props to Matt for that name for that deck. He was like, the Curly is more consistent than any of them, and that might be true too.
It's not. It's just more my style. Like, I will 100% tell you, the better deck is the Pidgeot version. The Curly version is more my style, right? It gives me. And this is why, right? Because I don't play this game anymore. So making decisions turn by turn based on what I need in a few turns, like you do with Pidgeot, hurts my brain. But only dealing with making decisions based on what I have currently available helps me win, right? So the better version is Pidgeot. Curly is not as good. The only matchup I think it does better in is the Mew matchup, and it's because I don't think there's a single possible way that deck can lose the Mew at all, period. The other matchups can. They could boss around and kill your Pidgeots, you know, whatever, but the Curlia version, like, they're taking one prizes until you're set up, and when you're set up, you win, so.
That's fair. Other interesting decks from the Latin American regionals is Arceus Umbreon made a comeback. Arceus Bro. Umbreon Duraludon made a comeback. It was non-existent at Pittsburgh regionals, and it's back. That's pretty cool. Rapid Strike Inteleon and Urshifu. We talked about that a little bit during the Barcelona. Was just short of top 8. But yeah, it looked like the top eight and even just day two in general looked like it was the Charizard show, which is actually awesome to see. Speaking of, your Curlia Charizard buddyzard made top 32. So,
is it just me or does Arceus Umbreon look like the guy grabbed the wrong deck box on the way out of the house, put four Ionos in it, and called it a day? Because this looks like the list that used to be out there.
Yeah, it really is. The only difference from this list and, like, I think the one that Ian Robb got second with at NAIC is, like, he took out the Duraludon, a 1-1 Duraludon VMAX and put Lucario V-Star in there. Everything else is about the same. Yeah, this is same list.
Yeah, I feel like this dude just had it in his deck box, grabbed the wrong one. He meant to play Zard, and he just happened to bring this and was like, fuck it, I guess I'll run this, and took it to top eight. So congrats on you, bud.
Also lost Tina, got second place. We should mention that. That's very important. But Scott, I saw you earlier looking at online tournaments. Did you see anything else, or is it all the same stuff?
It's still, that's the crazy thing is, like, it, I feel like it's all the same stuff right now. Mirrodin got some new tools, but nobody's playing the Zapdos, despite all the hype. Not that I saw, at least. Everybody's playing the Mew, for various reasons, right? None of the Charizards are playing the Mew, which boggles my mind. But yeah, it looks like, it honestly looks like the format is going to be very much what it has been. Albeit maybe with less loss zone because people are scared that, you know, they're going to get Greninja themselves now, right? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. Some of these, there's a tournament actually going on right now, Full Heal Obsidian number 8. I was just looking at, but I thought it was like further in than it is. It was literally round 1, so I can't really use that right now. It's okay. Next time. But anyway, that kind of goes right into like what the meat and potatoes of this episode is, and that is Peoria Regionals is this weekend. Matt, are you going to Peoria Regionals?
No. Someone's got to be able to go pick up the wife from the airport, and I think it should be me.
That's
nah. Make her Uber, bro. How long you guys been married? She can't divorce you now.
Oh, man. No. I will be playing locals, though, so there's that.
Okay.
151 would be legal, right?
Yeah. And
oh, it is.
You are more likely to win because there's a lot of good players going to be at Peoria, so
yep.
Take the store credit when you can, right?
Yes, absolutely. You have to pick your battles, all right?
I want
to pick one I'm more likely to win.
I want to get on here so bad and just start telling everybody I'm going to Peoria just because my girl's in the kitchen and she can hear me say it, but I can't do that. I'm not going. Scott, are you going?
I will be there.
Holy shit.
I will be
shit.
On a early AF flight Friday morning.
Boots on
I
the
think
ground.
We have to be at the airport. Yeah. We have to be at the airport at 5 Friday morning. So shout out to fucking that, I guess. I didn't realize that when we were booking the flight. I definitely would have paid like $100 extra not to be in Nashville at 5 in the morning, but it's fine. and we're staying till Monday, which is good, you know, because when I do make day 2 and then I do end up, you know, as a finalist, I won't have to rush to the airport. So.
That's always good. You get some sleep after, you know, you're selling in the win for the boys.
Yeah, so.
Like, hey, man. Hey, at least we got a representative in Peoria. That's fantastic. A little jealous.
Oh, man, I hope to catch you on the big screen. And then next week we'll review your misplays.
Oh, there'll be too much. Like, that'll be the longest podcast ever, bro. I don't know if you know how I play recently, but I be misplaying every day.
My man's going to, like, get on the big screen and then, like, get up there and somehow accidentally win. And they're like, Scott, how did you feel about that matchup? I played like shit.
No, if I ever get interviewed for winning a stream match, bro, I want to do the Talladega Nights thing and just like start raising my hand slowly, but also be like, yeah, the deck drew cards and I played the cards and it did the cool thing, Charizard, you know, or something like that.
My biggest, like, if I were to ever get on stream and then like be interviewed after I won a game on stream, I want to do the pro sports athlete interviews. Oh yeah, you know, I just get out there and you know, I just did it for my team.
And this is why we'll never win a stream match. The judges will make sure of it. They'll be like, "Oh fuck, Scott's about to win." Yeah, two prize penalty for slow play. It's not even my turn. Slow play.
Did you just say fuck?
If you win and they let you give a shout out, will you specifically not give me a shout out? And by that I mean, as you're doing it, and be like, "But not Matt. Not definitely not going to shout you out. No. No, not him." And then that way afterwards they're just like, "Well, we don't know who Matt is, but might be a rival or something." And then it'll be the next mystery.
No, I'd probably say something along the lines of, "Shout out to the Flow TK crew, you know, Steven Maxlow and the other guy."
Steven Maxlow, and I think his name's Matt. I think so.
Matt Farton or something, I don't know.
You gotta shout out Sergey, bro.
Oh, Sergey, bro. Shout out Sergey every day now.
Gotta shout out Sergey. Couldn't have done this without him. He literally didn't do anything but shit and eat.
But he's got the cutest fucking Freddy Krueger sized fingers, bro.
All right, since you're going to Peoria Regionals, we do have to talk about what to expect at Peoria Regionals. Do you know how many people are going to be there?
A fucking bunch, bro. I don't know if it sold out, actually. I think it did. But, you know, let me just log on to my RK9 and see how many people are registered. But it's
6 million.
These tournaments are getting bigger and bigger.
Buddy, Sacramento has 1,500 people. Sacramento, California.
I remember going to West Coast Regionals because they were small, like, bigger league cups, bro. It's,
you know what doesn't change, though? That there can only be one winner.
That's right. That's right. You
know, so you don't have to worry about how many people are there. You just have to worry about being first. That's it.
Yep. You go ahead and worry about being first, bro.
Bro.
I'm going to worry about making it through the day.
He said, "I'm going to worry about playing 9 rounds.
Okay, so there are, this is all age divisions, but there are 1,999 TCG players registered.
Jesus Christ.
At least it's not 2,000.
At least it's not 2,000. I mean, somebody's getting the buy.
Round one buy.
Yo, I mean, that number will go down, probably be about 1,600 masters or so. Right? Probably.
Yeah.
That's still a lot, dude. So my first question is what do you guys think the number or the top played decks are going to be? Like, top three. Give me your top three.
You want to go first, Matt?
Lost Box. No, hang on. Yeah, Lost Box, Charizard, Mirai, Dawn.
Okay. I see your point. I don't agree with it, but I see it. No, everybody's hyping up Colorless Lugia. So I think a lot of people are going to play that. I don't think it's going to make the debut people think it is because everybody's prepping for it. But I think Colorless Lugia is going to be super big. I think Charizard's still a thing. And I think just because Lugia's big, I think people are going to play Maridon. That's my top three. I think Lost Box is
fucking nerds, bro. It's Guardi, Charizard, and fucking, that's it. That's literally, there's 1,600. there's 1,600 people. Those are the two decks that are going to be played.
I don't actually expect to see Guardi pretty much at all.
Buddy, Guardi can play fucking Mewtwo.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the only thing it got.
What are you talking about? It's still good.
It's good. It's not the top three. it might make it to the top eight. I can see a couple Guardies in top eight, but most played decks, people aren't bringing Guardy to
That's fair. Peoria. That's fine. I do think just because it's Charizard, Charizard is going to be all over the place. Like, it's going to be all over the place. I think single strike Lugia. I think colorless Lugia does have some bearings to it, but I'm going to have to disagree with Maraidon. I really do think Gardevoir is going to be top three. If not Gardevoir, it's going to be Lost Zone something.
That weakness Lost Zone deck that's been popping up might be there. That thing is stupid. I hate it. It deals with Charizard. I'll tell you that much.
That's true. That is also true. I don't know what it does. I've never even seen it.
It's pretty much just like it plays something for weakness for everybody, but it plays the Tropius. And so Tropius plus the... I can't remember what it is, but it does 30 extra to dark type Pokemon. Pokemon for Balian. Yeah. Yeah, that's the sauce that was being played against me first two rounds of last regional. Or not regional, last cup. And so if you play the Shaman E or Shaman EX or Shaman V, I don't know which one it is, but you could just knock out a Charizard one shot.
Bro, but Charizard's got the other Charizard now.
Yeah. Nobody's playing that shit.
Why?
I tested it. Because you can't get four. So if you're evolving into it and not your other Charizard, you can't put four on it.
Why?
So in order to use it, you have to evolve two Charizards. And if you could find me a deck that can get three rare candies in one turn, then you're good.
Arvin,
I don't know of a deck.
Pidgeot, and have one in hand. There you go. Like, what?
You have to evolve into Pidgeot.
I feel like I specifically remember earlier someone saying, have you ever started a game with three Charizards and four rare candies? So no, I think we just solved that solution.
Three Charmanders and four rare candies.
Listen, also Charizard has a single energy that if it has a damage counter on it, does 160. It's one-shotting every grass or fire weak Pokemon, bro. It's fine.
Sure. It could also be really great with Magma Basin, too. You just Magma Basin onto the Charmander, then evolve it, and then do 160.
Thank you.
But
thank you. Golly. Are you dumb or stupid? I'm just playing.
I'm telling you, Mew EX is a much better include than that.
Maybe.
If you're including anything.
Maybe.
You know, I think the real Charizard is Pokemon Go Charizard and Torkoal.
Get the fuck out of here.
You know what? Fuck it. I like it. Run it. Matt, that's what we're
going to coin flip everything.
That's what we're playing this weekend. At
Peoria. It still very much feels like a format that your favorite deck can win.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Like we're still not in doomsday scenario because Paradox Rift is out, which I still don't think that's doomsday scenario, but whatever. What do I know? I don't know
if
shit.
If I don't play at least one Alakazam, I'm going to be really upset. Just because that's a cool card. I want it to be like represented, you know?
That's fair. Do you think Alakazam has any merit for this tournament?
I think if it had a couple more tools or a little bit more time to perfect, it just doesn't do enough damage from the bench, right? And there's too many ways around, like, you know, too many people are playing like three boss and, you know, stuff like that. So it is annoying to deal with, and it can definitely steal wins. I would love to see a couple make day two, like a couple people that have kind of cracked it make day two. I don't think it goes any farther than that. But yeah, I mean, it's dope, you know, like I've seen a bunch of variations online, but none of them have really gotten there. Right. So
yeah, that's fair. I want Alakazam to be good too. But, what was the other thing? There's not really, like, Charizard did get some new tools. You did talk about Maraidon getting some new tools, which it did well in the Japanese Champions League thing. Actually won it, but I'm drawing a blank. I don't know if there's like any, what about Mew VMAX? Do you think Mew VMAX has any merit, Matt, for this tournament?
Well, you know, I want to say I want to say no because I want to feel like, you know, people died down on it and are moving on and doing things. But it's the moment that you say no, someone's going to bring it and then it's going to do well. And I feel like, because that's what happened at Worlds, right? Everybody's just like, oh, that's a thing of the past. Tried moving on and then turn around and it wins. So I think it'll be there and I think it'll do well and has the potential to do well. And I also think it could be a bit more controlling, especially with Grabber being out, right? Because now you get to see your opponent's hand for the cost of an item card. And so now you know what you're trying to play into every time. But I don't think it'll pop off and be a top finisher.
Listen to Matt talk about talk like he's a seasoned veteran, bro. He already knows. That's actually really I really like that input.
Yeah, I mean, it's good. It's good. Congratulations, Matt. You've graduated.
But, I'm a big boy now.
Yeah, I think if any Mew does do well, then, you know, because it is a consistent deck, right? It's still a consistent deck, so it still does what Mew does. So it still has the potential, but it would have to avoid every Charizard out there, right?
Well, that's just, I mean, we talked about Charizard being a top three deck, right? There is definitely a scenario with like almost 2,000 people there where you see no Charizards, you see no Mews, or not Mews, Lugias, and you see no Maridons.
100%.
Which I doubt that will happen, but...
I mean, it's happened with much closer formats, right? Like, I mean, you remember a day that all of the Scythe guys brought Malamar because... We thought everybody was playing Baby Blacephalon, and it turned out that Baby Blacephalon was the highest played deck in the room. And out of all of us that brought it, three of us didn't see a Baby Blacephalon.
Yeah, there was a situation like that. What was it? I was playing Arcanteleon, I think, and I saw no mirror matches. And yeah, even when I played Palkia at NAIC, I only played against it once. And that's 9 rounds, bro.
Yeah, and that's all of those formats are formats where there was like 2, maybe 3 good decks. Now we're talking about, you know, there's at least 5 or 6 decks that could win the whole thing. So it's a coin flip. What's going to be top? So, I mean, I'm not going to say you'd be safe playing Mew, but especially if you had an answer to Charizard, like just one, then I think you could
Path
make it.
Path of the Peak.
That never sticks, bro. I don't know if you know Charizards, but like, Path never sticks.
Path to the Peak, bro. It sticks every time. You just gotta believe.
It's just again, subliminally, why I think the Buddy Charizard is the best because workers in format. You know, just saying, hey.
Worker.
So, I don't know. I feel like the Zapdos though. Is going to make an appearance in Maridon there. And I think it's going to do fairly well, honestly, because if you hit the ground running real fast and early, you can just start sniping Charizards. You can start hitting Pidgeots for weakness. If you're going up against colorless Lugia, you now have that advantage, right? And it's not too bad, I think, to get powered up. I mean, 3 energy. Then
no.
90 to the bench.
No, it's not bad at all. My only issue with Zapdos, and this is like a minor inconvenience because you can just play Hawlucha, is the fact that you have to have damage on something before you can swing 90 to it. So you can't like out of the blue smack somebody with a Zapdos real quick and call it good. Like you have to set up for it. And that's the only thing that sucks. I wish it, but if it said 120, 90, like straight up, that'd be a stupid card. Like we're already bitching about Greninja. Like,
yeah, I 100% agree with that. You know, I mean, and even if the deck played more ways to search Hawlucha, then it'd be great. You know, but or if there was a way just to like put damage counters on their Pokemon, like if there was like a Shrine of Punishment thing or
Grapejaw Bog.
I guess there is. So if you're playing Grapejaw Bog, then. Fuck it, bro. Run it. That might be great, you know?
That's true, too. You could play that.
I'm not... It would probably even be good regardless, right? But... And if it is, it might be one of those situations where people aren't playing it online because they don't want to give up the sauce and they're going to show up like in force with it. So,
yeah, that is a valid point too. They could be holding out on us. How much do you think Mew EX is going to influence this tournament in general?
I think people aren't giving it enough credit, so they're not going to be as ready for it as they need to be. I also think that people haven't really explored it enough, so maybe they don't feel comfortable with it, or they don't see the advantage of having it. Because, you know, depending on what's going on, it's three energy, you know, it's colorless, but it's three energy, and it could be a dead card, you know, like if that's your starter and you have a chance where if it was any other Pokemon in your deck, you could have donked your opponent, but now you're just swinging for 20 for tackle or something like that. It feels bad, right? So we'll see. I think it's a great card. I don't think it's any more than a one of, but I do feel like people could find a place for it in at least 80% of the decks out there. So,
I mean, it is a free pivot too, right?
Right. And it does have the instruct ability. So I don't know if that's what it's called, but it's, you just draw one. So
I thought it lets you draw until you have three cards in hand.
Maybe that's the case. I don't know what it does, but you draw, and that's great. That fixes a lot of problems.
So it lets you draw until you have three cards in hand, and then it's a free pivot. And I think in colorless Lugia, it is absolutely nasty. I think Mew EX is going to be fantastic to the point to where if Alakazam EX actually does... If there is a cracked list for it, right, it's an answer for the Mimikyu nonstop, because it can just sit there and put those damage counters on the Mimikyu and knock it out. I think it was overhyped in Guardy. I don't think it'll be as good as what everyone might have been thinking. Because you heard a lot of people talking about it being, oh, well, you know, you could just take the Radiant or the Radiant Greninja and copy its attack, and now you're sniping with it. But I feel like, if anything, it would be one of those maybe late game attacker instead, copying a bigger, more powerful attack instead of like actually copying a Greninja, because I feel like everyone thought that was going to be the play, and then it probably isn't going to end up being that. But I think Lugia definitely gets the biggest benefit from it.
I also think Lost Box does too. And I think
Lost Box
in general,
all of them.
Not the Giratina variant. Like, I'm talking like single prize slash like Dragonite Lost Box or Kyogre or whatever you want to call it. And I say that because, like, one, if you're up against Lost Tina, you just knock out their Tinas because you're getting 10 in the Lost Zone for your Sableye. So you can use Star Requiem if you need to. Also, just Giratina in general, because you can just you know, attach the energy to it and then just deal with it because you're doing Lost Impact for 280. That requires like different deck building strategies for Lost Tina, but I think just with that card alone being in the format and the fact that you can always respond KO to a Giratina, with whether you're playing it in Lugia, you're playing it in Lost Box, like I said, if you wanted to, you're playing it in Guardy if you're about that smoke, because you're knocking out a Tina with only three energies instead of 72. I think it's bad against Mew because it really doesn't do anything. Just a side note, it does Max Miracle for 130, which is whatever. But like, just the fact that like you can, you know, copy like the big attacks that you didn't really have before is really good. I think Scott is kind of onto something with adding it to Charizard. My only concern with that is that it's a little squishy. Like, you are pitching three energies and you're only playing a super rod. So like losing all your energies feels really bad. But I mean,
most of the Zard lists play like 9 or 10 energies now anyhow. So
that could be true too. But like, I think it will I think it will have a huge impact on this tournament. I really do. I think, like, just by it existing alone is going to keep, like, Tina numbers down. Like, less Tina, more Lost Box kind of thing.
Right.
So it will influence it that way. As far as it in Guardi, I haven't tried it. I can't even lie to you guys. I don't know if the juice is worth the squeeze. Is that the term?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Yeah. I don't know if it's there yet, but as a card, like a playable card out of a new set. Yeah. Mew's fantastic. It's a fantastic card. I remember when it came out, I was like, yo, that attack is a little underwhelming. But, I mean, Moonlight Shuriken when you don't have your own is always good. And a free pivot and colorless Lugia is really good, too. So you can't knock that. But I think the card's really good. So I got to ask you guys, though, what's going to be in the finals? Or, no, we'll do top eight. Matt, what's your top eight bracket looking like for Peoria Regionals?
Let's see.
Pick eight.
I'm going to say there's going to be probably three Charizard decks. We'll go two Lost Box. One Guardi. And two Maridon.
No Lugia at all? None?
All right, there'll be one Lugia then.
So what are you taking out for the one Lugia?
We're going to dumpster a Charizard.
Okay.
That's what's going to happen.
Scott?
All right, check this out. So the top eight is going to be Azul GG, yours truly, Tord Redcliff, Reagan. Raul's going to make it, but he's going to lose in top eight again. And then the rest of it could be whoever, and we're all going to be playing the same list, which is this stall list that I just saw with... I don't even remember what it played, but we're all playing stall. So.
Well, oh, the Pharaoh one?
Yeah. The Pharaoh stall. Yeah, it'll be seven Pharaoh stalls and one Lugia, and Lugia is going to lose.
No,
and the finals is going to be...
You got Tord in the in top eight, so it's going to be seven Pharaohs and one Guardi.
No, six Pharaohs, one Guardi, and one Lugia. All right, okay. That's it.
All right. What's the finals?
You were about to finals? The finals is going to be me versus Tord, and I'm going to get absolutely wrecked. That's going to be my first stream game of all time. And
he's going to get Tord up.
I'm going to get Tord up.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
He's going to wreck you.
He's going to wreck live me.
Matt,
no,
what's your...
I absolutely cannot pick a top eight. Anybody who says that they can either plays this game a lot more than I do or... is high because there's too many decks that could possibly take it, and it's a brand new format, even if we didn't gain much from 151. So,
I actually am teching in Kangaskhan EX into colorless Lugia, and that's my answer to everything. I just plan on flipping four heads and doing 400 damage and calling it a day.
I want to so bad now. Now that you said that, I might sleeve it up.
I respect all of that. My top eight.
No, I've already decided. Oh, sorry. But I've already decided that if I ever go to a regionals or any big event, I am 100% playing a stall deck. My goal is to go 0-0-9. And that is it. I want people to sit down and be like, hey, man, I'm playing that stall deck. So if you just want to go ahead and take a breather, we can have a tie. You can go to the bathroom, get you a little sneaky snack.
Oh, my God. My top eight is going to be two Lost Box, three Charizards, one Guardian, two Lugias.
No,
that's probably the most realistic top eight that we've heard
Maridons.
So far.
No Maridons. I don't think Maridon's going to get there.
Bro, yeah, you just don't respect Maridon. That's it.
I don't. I don't. It's good. It'll be ninth. But
it'll be ninth.
It'll be ninth. But that's what I got. I think Guardy's going to somehow get into the finals because we all know who's piloting it. And it'll be like Guardy versus Lost Box in the finals.
Who wins that?
Probably Lost Box. I'll say Lost Box wins the finals. It's going to win this regionals.
Because they get to turn two Sableye every turn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think so. And then, but I feel like that's the most predictable outcome. I know, like, you got Zard there, but, like, I still think Guardy can beat Zard if it wanted to.
It can. It does.
Just because they're all like, yo, big Guardy's weak to dark. That's fine. It sits on the bench. You got to find boss every turn.
Which you can with
Pidgeot. Oh, and yeah.
And Buddy Zard.
And Buddy Zard, yeah. So that's my predictions. That's what I got.
It's funny that none of us gave any love to Chinpou at all. Nobody even mentioned it this entire podcast.
I forgot that was a deck. That's actually a pretty solid play too. It'll get 10th.
Yeah, again, it's like crazy because there's all these decks. Not one of them is like the best. You know, any one of them could sneak by. So,
sorry. Actually, I'm making a change here. I want to see someone take Seeking Finizen there. Finizen? Finneon. Whatever the stupid fish is that lets you accelerate water energy.
See, this is why for a while we just didn't let new people on the podcast.
The thing hits big, though, for a single prizer.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Yeah.
But the problem is there's Sableye in the format. That's the only issue with things like that. I want to see Seeking Finneon win it. And the fact that we're having the conversation and not just like doing anything else is a testament to something.
I don't know what, but something. You know what else is going to be nasty like that, though? Our boy Golden Go.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Giving out golden showers left and right.
I swear, you're going to make me quit Pokemon.
Oh, my God. Shut the fuck up.
All right, so let's move on. To regional tips. All right, let's just move on here.
Now, when I put this in, go ahead.
I have the best number one tip that should be at the top of everybody's priority. Take a shower before you go play.
100%.
Yes.
And then the second tip is have fun. But that only comes after you take a shower.
Scott, we've beaten the dead horse over and over again about drink water and eat like. Have a not a big
snack.
Meal,
yeah,
but eat snacks. I want something real. What's the most real tip you could give somebody that we haven't already before?
All right, check this out. And this is something that has come up recently just playing Cups, right? So I actually wanted to speak on this eventually anyhow. I was thinking about writing an article, but I don't know where I would post it. So let me just go into this. I've been harping a long time about how, like, I'm just playing the game for fun now. I don't care if I win or lose or whatever. And it's helped my, like, mental state. You know, like, I'm not getting angry when I lose and stuff like that. But being on that side, I've also seen the style of play that I used to be, which is, like, you know, you get tilted, you get salty, you know. You blame others for what happened. Or you're like, oh, I can't believe you hit it or whatever, which is completely fine, right? But I think the number one tip that I can think of, like, for your mental state going into a regionals is remember that it's a game. Like, win or lose, remember that it's a game. And you paid to play, so play the rounds, you know? You paid to play nine rounds, have a good time, right? Especially with them getting more and more expensive. You have to realize that, you know, you're paying for an experience, not to win the tournament. So don't get so, you know, hung up on winning and losing, right? Just play the game. And once you get that in your mentality, you'll find yourself much better off mentally, and you'll probably end up winning a little bit more. I don't know. We'll see. But that's my number one tip.
That's a good tip. My tip is make a friend. One, meet somebody new. Just one time. Like Scott said, everything he said, and if you take a shower, like Matt said, you're more likely to go up to somebody and say hi and have an actual conversation.
And then promote the podcast to them.
Yeah, and then be like, have you listened to the FloTCast podcast? And they told me to shower. But just meet a friend or make a friend, say hi. I mean, most people there are very, very
welcoming.
Welcoming, that's the word. Thank you. And my second tip I could ever give you in playing a long regional tournament is to not carry a very heavy bag. Travel light. Like, if you're bringing bulk, do all that on Friday. Do not try to do that in the middle of a tournament. Like, that's the best two tips. And then time management. Those are my three tips. So that is Peoria Regionals in a nutshell. Good luck to everybody going. I'm rooting for all of you. But to more important matters is this fucking promotion collab thing that Pokemon did. We have to talk about this. Over this past week, and I think I just learned about it last week, or maybe I learned about it before, but it happened last week. It's the Van Gogh, is it the 50th anniversary of the Van Gogh Museum in Amsterdam? Did a collab with Pokemon and other IPs like Mario, I think, or Nintendo was there outside of Pokemon. I think there was or Legos was there for sure. There was other different collabs with Van Gogh, but Pokemon, of course, stole the show in a not so positive way, I would say. Like, it was cool that Pokemon did it. It's unfortunate that the Mew card or the Pikachu card slash art that they used had two ears and not one. That's Van Gogh chopped his ear off, bro.
Put it in only part of it.
Only part of it. So, like, there wasn't a chip off of Mew's or Pikachu's ear. But more embarrassingly is that Pokemon, part of their promo, they obviously had items and stuff that you could buy, like merch and stuff. And if you got the merch, each piece of merch you got, you got a Pikachu Van Gogh promo card. So what happens when there's an exclusive promo card for Pokemon?
People go absolutely apeshit.
Bananas. They forget they're even humans and they're savages in a fucking art museum. First of all, I thought you had to be quiet at art museums. I don't know if that's the same as libraries. They were hollering, bro. That's my first complaint, is that they were fucking gets to getting it. And y'all seen the videos. That shit's fucking embarrassing. I don't care who you are. Grown men. And another argument I hate is opposed to this is it's for the kids, man. No. No. Pokemon is for everyone. It's not just for the kids. It's for everyone. And you guys are acting like fucking clowns over a trading card. It's embarrassing, and I had to bring that up. And then, Pokebeach, we're going to throw this in there, had an article about it, talking about how the foil texture from the one you got as opposed to the one you got online was different, which was very misleading, somebody said. But who fucking cares, bro? Who cares if it's misleading? It's a fucking article. He was reporting on something about how, this was a potential. There was barely any facts on what was going on. And it was this whole thing was stupid, and it made me not like Van Gogh.
So, First off, the first thing you brought up about the Pikachu having both ears, I don't think you could take off one of the ears without them doing a promotional for mental health awareness, which wouldn't have been bad, right? But also, I am really surprised that they actually didn't do anything with the Moonbryon, considering, you know, it's based off of Starry Night. You figured there would have been a little something there.
They had an Eevee with a hat on. I don't know. I just thought the whole thing was...
Oh, yeah. I saw the video you sent from Twitter, though, and that was absolutely insane. Everybody pushing and shoving and everything else, like, no.
Bro, hot take. Toughen up. That's every other Black Friday in America.
Well, I also understand. Once again, disclaimer, we at the Flow T-Cast do not disrespect the hustle. You do what you got to do. But, like, Scott, you know that you and I would never, ever be caught dead in some shit like that.
Yeah. You know why? Because we don't care that much. Yeah. They care that much. They're going to do it. If you release any exclusive product ever, you have the chance of doing that. That same scenario used to happen at the local Five Below over Squishmallows, bro.
And at my Walmart when I worked at it.
100%. Yeah. Like, so the only reason I feel like it's getting any news was because it wasn't done in America. That's par for the course in America. It might not be in Amsterdam, but, like, that doesn't look crazy to me. It hasn't. The people that got the product, congrats, you know? The people that are complaining about not getting the product, it's Pokemon. They'll re-release it. Like, they will.
That's. I think they actually came out with a note later saying that they will.
100%. So then, you know, all those people risk life and liberty to get these exclusive cards that aren't even that exclusive. Like, sure, they're worth money, you know, like, okay, you know, they'll probably make a pretty big profit off of it, but it's, people are do crazy things for,
bro,
things,
but
you
it's
collect.
it's still embarrassing to me. It's just
like more
it embarrassing. Is
embarrassing,
but, like, honestly, like, if I want to go and get my coffee cup or fridge magnet or whatever small little token of, oh, man, that's cool, like, yeah. And if some clown comes up and starts shoving me and hits me in the back of the head or something, like, of course I'm going to have a problem with it. Like, I mean, just chill, dog. Chill.
I mean, I don't know, bro. In more important news, though, on the Poke Beach website, like, underneath the article, the guy posted that... on the Twitter, he had, like, reported that his local Target didn't have 151 because a scalper jumped the person that stocks the shelves. Like, that's what I should be, like, that's what we should be worried about. Like, that's actual theft. Like,
well, that's not even theft. That's actual assault. Like, that's a problem.
Assault
too.
And Duracell battery, bro. You know what I mean?
What does, oh,
fuck. Assault and battery. Fuck. Get it? Sorry, I came off a little energetic. I apologize. I forget you're in charge. That's another battery joke.
I think I got some...
I'm positive. I'll stop.
Oh, my God. Oh, but, I mean, that was pretty much it. You got any shop tales for us today?
Not one that I'm at liberty to tell you.
Okay.
There's one that happened this weekend. But I didn't get permission to tell it, so it'll have to wait till next week, unfortunately.
Until we get some.
Were you actually done with the battery jokes? Because there are so many more.
There is, but I got told by Maxwell to stop. So, you know, he was giving me the eye.
Oh man, you should at least drop like the conduct yourselves properly or something. Literally, you should have kept going.
Listen, I have children. I have dinner coming soon. I can only take so many battery jokes until it's time to stop. But speaking of high-powered fucking technology that's powered by batteries, maybe even Duracell, no free ads. Since are we any other Pokemon things before we move on?
No, I think we're good.
You good? 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 Yeah. Have you guys seen this fucking sphere in Las Vegas?
Aliens.
Buddy.
What?
Yo.
I don't know. Is it a UFO?
No, it's this fucking building, like auditorium that they built for concerts. They did their grand opening this weekend, and they picked everybody's favorite band, America's like godchildren, U2. Whatever. I could have thought of a bunch of other acts that would have been better. And it's like 18K resolution screens that cover the entire sphere of the fucking like backdrop that covers the whole thing. And like, you gotta see it, bro. Yeah, like if we were doing a video podcast right now, I'd be playing some clips from it. It's fucking bananas, dude. Like, it's so good that I kept watching videos and I was like entranced. Like, their backdrop was like they were in the middle of the desert with the sun beaming and like the sky like a time lapse of daytime into nighttime, and like they're just playing in sand and tumbleweeds and shit. It literally lit up the whole place and looked like that's where they were at. And then they do like cool special effects and bro, I gotta go. Like, I gotta fucking go back to Vegas and go to one of these. Are you looking at it?
I am. They didn't have to make one of the pictures a freaking eyeball though. Like, I'm never going to this place now.
Bro, it is so sick. Like, during the NBA All-Star game, this thing hasn't like opened yet, but they had the outside of it, which has all these screens and stuff. They like had a whole basketball with like advertisements and things like that. It's like, this thing is fucking insane, bro. I have to go. Next time I go to Vegas, I have to go to this thing. Like, it's
As somebody that fixes something for a living, though, what if one of them goes out? Do you want to be the guy that has to climb up the side of it to replace one screen?
That would suck. And that would be my luck, is like my show gets canceled because one screen was out.
One screen is out, bro. So I don't know. It looks pretty cool. It's definitely an engineering feat. They didn't have to do the eyeball. Also, I would like to know the history behind whose eyeball that is.
Somebody said, like, if anybody says people haven't built anything insane in recent memory, show them this. Bro, that is so fucking cool. I don't care what anybody says. Like, that's so sick.
So they built a megadome.
A megasphere.
A megasphere. I feel like this has been done before in a smaller scale, though. Shout out Epcot.
I don't know.
Epcot, you know, the ball in Epcot in Disney. No. Okay.
I've never been.
Get
to
cultured. Get cultured.
I can't believe that they would put the Earth on the sphere, though. Doesn't everybody know that the Earth is flat?
No, flat Earth is so last year, bro. It's all about hot dog Earth now. Look it up.
It's glizzy Earth, bro.
Wait, I was the one that showed that picture off. You're right.
Oh, my God. Yeah, dude.
Could you imagine if all of the ocean was just filled with hot dog water?
So with all the special effects that these screens can do, I ask you each one question. If you could see any artist in the sphere, who would it be?
Van Gogh.
Musical
current
artist.
Or past Van Gogh? Because current Van Gogh would be awesome.
Musical artist.
Oh. U2.
Well, your chance has already came and went, buddy.
Yeah. Sorry, bud. I don't know. I'd probably like to see,
Pitbull.
Like a festival, you know, like the Vans Warped Tour. I'd like to see the Vans Warped Tour in this, you know, because it's big enough they could have multiple stages.
I don't know, bro.
How big is the inside of it?
I'm looking at it.
It fits 20,000 people. Actually, that is arena size. 20,000 people. Yeah, that's pretty huge.
Does it?
You know what I would like to see in there, though? I would fly out to see a Knights game, like a special Knights game in this thing, though.
How the? No, no. What you do is you don't see a Knights game in it. You watch one of their playoff runs on the screen. That would be fucking sick, dude.
From a helicopter.
No, it's inside. Like, you go inside and it's like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you sit like you're in an auditorium of 20,000 people and you just fucking... Oh. You just fucking rage, bro.
But musical artists, I don't know, man. A Day to Remember would be sick to see in this atmosphere.
Bro, it's
I'd go see Weird Al in it. That would be great.
That would be pretty good. Pink Floyd's the best one I could think of for something like this. Like,
I don't mean to be disrespectful, but
okay, then don't.
Aren't they dead?
No, they're still around.
Okay.
Are they on the dark side of the moon?
Nah, they will be if they play in this fucking sphere, bro. I feel like that would be the band that you get to do this. But anyway, moving on to some small sports things I got to talk about. The Lions and Packers played. Lions dominated the Packers, and the Lions fans took over Lambeau Field. That felt great. And
that was insane. That was sad for Green Bay fans.
Boys are on the come up. And Scott, I have to ask you before we go, what the fuck are the Lightning going to do?
Rely on JoJo and hope for the best. I don't know. He stepped up in preseason. Hopefully he can, you know, carry some momentum. He just shut out the preseason Hurricanes, so there's that. But like I said, he looked okay in the game that I watched. He definitely is attentive. He definitely has vision. I don't think he has the glove that Vassy has, but
I don't think anybody does.
Yeah, I think we're just going to have to hope for the best, but it's going to be him playing by himself until Vassy heals, because the other goalies, look, man, don't even send him to the AHL. Just, like, send him down to the ECHL and get some guy off the street like UAB did in their college games.
Bro, my homeboy Pat was, like, just finishing giving me the spiel of how the Lightning aren't going to make the playoffs, and I was like, don't worry, you got Vassy.
No, we don't.
I still think you will. Like, there's too much experience on that team, but I had to get your honest vocal opinion on what they got to pick somebody up. They got to.
The problem is the money.
Well, they IR him. He's a $9 million goalie. You get that money back, you can sign somebody.
Yeah, but I think they're going to have to IR him just to sign Stamkos again.
Well, they don't have to do that till the end of the season, so they'll be all right.
Yeah.
But afterwards, I don't know what the fuck's going on with them. God bless them. And God bless you all for listening to us. We're going to end it there.
Hold on. You're not going to mention the game yesterday?
No.
The game that was, like, awesome, that was in Andy's room? You didn't hear about that?
No.
NFL did, like, a special game on Hulu Plus.
Oh, that was this morning. Yeah, that was this morning, cool. Yeah. Yeah, I forgot about that. That was cool. They did something like that for the NHL, not in Andy's room. It was like Big Forest Greens or something like that. Something like that. But that was pretty cool. Like, watching it, like, every time they ran, they turned the jets on their feet, and they're just like...
Yeah. And it was a whole lot less violent. Even the big hits weren't big.
For sure. And then, like, the yard marker was the slinky dog. Yeah.
I thought, that's the way you get kids interested in football. You know what I'm saying? Like,
for sure.
I thought that was real cool.
When they do that and then, like, the Nickelodeon things where they slime the guys after a touchdown. Not, like, actually, but, like, CGI.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool when they do stuff like that. But, yeah, that's all I got, though. That's it. Matt, do you have anything else before we roll credits?
Just that everyone has a great week. And good luck at Peoria.
For sure. Scott, you got anything?
No, just you can catch me on Twitter, at FloTK1. Thanks for all the tags recently. Shout out to Pokemon Crossroads for putting our name out there again.
Oh,
and for everybody
sick.
Who's mentioned us recently.
Sick.
And you can catch Max Lowe at MaxLowFTK. And you can catch Matt behind your locally delicatessen making ham sandwiches.
I've actually moved on to haberdasheries.
Oh, I apologize.
Some buttons and such.
But that's all I got. I hope you guys have a wonderful week. Good luck in Peoria. And we will catch you guys on the flip side. And by the flip side, I mean, I don't know how the fuck we're doing this podcast next week.
Sunday evening, I'll bring my laptop.
My man. My dog. Hold it down for the boys. Hotel room live reacts from... Oh, my God, Scott, if you could just bring a blazer and start doing post-game interviews, that would be fucking sick, dude.
If I scrub out of day one, I may. I may do that.
Just like walking.
Actually, we'll be on standby, and if you get to play on the big screen, you just call us on Discord from the big screen, and we'll do it right there and then.
Yeah. FloTCast reacts to Scott on the big screen. You just hear, what a bitch. Oh, fucking loser. All right, guys. Well, once again, good luck in Peoria if you're going. And we will see you guys next time.
Peace.
Peace.
Peace.